Hi, my name is Jim Fannin. I coach champions. Since 1974, I've coached the best in the world in life, business, and sports. And now I'm coaching you. So if you're seeking peak performance while eliminating worry, anxiety, doubt, and fear from your daily life, well, you've come to the right place. Join the tens of thousands of Zoniac performers that enjoy a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. Your success is the only mission. The Jim Fannin Show starts right now.
Welcome to the Jim Fannin Show. I'm Jim Fannin. I am fired up today. I've got a special guest that I can't wait to talk to, and I can't wait to learn from. This show is about how to handle setbacks. And the show today is success is getting up one more time from defeat. And us performers in business, life, sports, that's never ending. If you have a dream of your own Mount Everest, that's a steep climb. You'll get to a wall of scrutiny. You may fall. And if your expectations aren't met, what do? Do you get back up or do you wallow in it, put yourself down, be judgmental, and be a victim of your condition or circumstance? And then do you bring everybody with you like a black hole with all the negativity? Well, we're going to find out how a real champion, a true champion in all life arenas has gone from, well, you'll hear about her life, the rags to riches story. This is a classic. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome a special guest and a good friend, Dr. Pat Basile. And Pat, you are the founder of the Transformation Network. You're an entrepreneur. You have multiple degrees in psychology. I can't wait to hear a little bit more about that. You're also an accomplished ping pong champion for a long time, over a long period of time. And there's a rumor that you hustle pool sometime. I don't know if we'll get into that or not. But what a crazy, awesome, beautiful life that you've had. And let's find out more about Dr. Pat. And also, you can find her on the Dr. Pat Show on the Transformation Network. Dr. Pat, welcome to the Jim Fannin Show.
I am fired up. I have been waiting for this. I was sitting here talking to Linda this morning at like 4 o'clock in this morning, my time. And I'm saying, Linda, what should I wear? What color should I wear? She says, you got to wear blue. It's Jim. And you've never met Linda, but you will. And part of Linda's part of my story. But why am I fired up? What gets us fired up? I'm going to tell you for the moment. This is quick, and then I'm going to kick it back to you. This is a quote from Audre Lorde. Some people call her Audrey. I call her Audra. My mama called her Audra. When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in service of my vision, then it becomes less and less important whether I'm afraid.
What's not to disagree with that? I love it. And you've lived that. And tell me, now you have a PhD. Now I had my PhD. Of course, I got a Kentucky PhD. I always wake up like I'm poor, hungry, and determined. But you have a PhD. And tell me what your degree is. I know it's in psychology. Tell me a little about your thesis and all about that. And then I want to find out how did you get to that place? Because that's okay. Where you are right now.
Now look at, okay. This is what gets me fired up. All you listening to this show that are thinking, I can't do it. I don't have the degree. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Oh my gosh, how much does it cost? What I got to do? Stop. Just let you stop right now. I barely graduated high school. I only graduated high school, Jim, because my literature teacher felt sorry for me. And he asked me to read a poem. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. But I knew every Bob Dylan song on the planet. And I walked up into class on my last day of the summer because I was going to not graduate. And I held a piece of paper up like I was reading. And I literally read the verses to one of Bob Dylan's favorite songs, right? One of my favorite. And the teacher said, who is that? I said, that's Bob Dylan. And that's a tipping point moment for whether there's a person on your team or not. This guy said, you're right. Bob Tillman is one of the greatest poets of our time. But I'm telling you, Jim, how did I even know about a PhD? Look, there's a whole lot of story that comes before this, but I'm going to tell you. I'm 17 years old, coming off the streets of homelessness, in a hotel.
Okay, you. We went from PhD, and now I got you homeless. What homeless? Now I don't know if all the listeners or people watching have ever been homeless. Homeless is homeless, without a rudder, without a sail, without a direction. Were you on the streets?
Yeah, I mean, look. Remember the other show you did about intuition and optimism? And I had a moment when you were talking about that, I just cried. Because if it wasn't for those things you talked about, and all of them, self-discipline, right? When you talked about these, now I have to tell you, when I was younger, I didn't have the self-discipline. So let's just be real clear. Yeah, I mean, what's my 17-second elevator speech when I'm sitting on an airplane and I'm driving and somebody's watching me doing something on a computer and the guy next to me is like, oh, that's kind of interesting. What do you do? You know, and I tell him. And he said, how did you do that? You know, what is your childhood like? Where'd you learn that? I said, here's what it is. I was born into this world. I cried it for 4 years. And in order to shut me up, they put alcohol on my lips. I was born to a mom who was an addict and an alcoholic. By the time I'm 5 years old, my uncles give me boxing gloves because they knew I'd need them. They gave them to me because I cried. I found out later in life, I'm a little bit, what do we call it now? Like the spectrum. That's like a word now. That's like a label. But here I am five and a half years old. My mom is so sick, I found out later, first attempted suicide. So they throw me in Catholic boarding school. I'm 6 years old. I'm in Catholic boarding school. I ain't no six-year-old that belongs in any kind of boarding school or anything, but I'm in there because my dad paid them off pretty much. I knew that. But I'm in the Catholic boarding school, and that's a whole nother story. But I'm in the school, and I hear on the Station of the Cross in Catholicism, Jesus says to me over the weekend, hey, your mom's with me. And of course, I pull on Sister Michael Anthony, and she grabs me by the ears. Lo and behold, walk into Mother Superior. Mother Superior says, I got a note. Her mother is with Jesus. But how did I get from there? Yeah, dad remarries.
Is that your first cognitive memory?
It's my second.
Second.
It's my second.
Of intuition. What
yeah,
was your
it's
first?
My second.
I got to ask you, what was the first one?
My birth mom. I have two moms. I had three, really. But my first mom taught me about love. My first mom was so empathic. She couldn't stay here. My dad cheating on her. She couldn't stay here. But my first intuitive hit was sitting in my mom's little coffee shop, her Coke, her soda shop with the jukebox. And my first intuitive hit was when the policeman would come in. And I remember this officer coming in and I grabbed his gun. And I'm waving this little thing. My sister tells the story better than I do. She's up there. And I'm waving this around and she says, we did not know if you'd put it down. And I heard something, Jim. You describe it better. But what I heard was, give it back to the policeman. Put it down. Give it back to the policeman.
My gosh, Pat. I mean, Dr. Pat, we've read stories recently this year of young kids having a gun, shooting somebody. I mean, we've heard that a lot in the last 5 years.
Yep.
And that's a great intuitive vibe that you had. So,
yeah.
So what you're telling me is, you know, you got dealt a bad hand. You know, what do you know? You're two. You don't know anything. You have no future. You have no past. You're two. You're in the moment. You have people around you that are obviously having challenges, obviously having conflicts. Is intuition the guiding light that's helped you come up from the bottom through this maze throughout your life?
Without a doubt. I mean, everything, even as a young age, it's intuition. How I got off the streets of New York was intuition.
How old were you on the streets of New York?
17. I graduated that summer and then I came home one day and all my stuff was on the lawn.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Thank God they didn't take my beater car. But all my stuff's on the lawn. I just threw it in the car. And I love New York. I would go to New York every... I was born in New York. And so I would go there, and there was so
that's where that fight, that's where that feisty
that
comes
is
from.
Where it comes from. But it's that Bronx. I mean, the home of like White Castle and hip hop here.
I got you.
But if it wasn't for intuition, I'd be dead. I know I'd be dead. I wouldn't be here.
Did you, at 17, out on your own, not a great support system or mentor or guide per se on a regular day-to-day basis. Did you have a vision at then of who you would be and where you wanted to go? What did you dream about at 17, down and out?
I got to tell you, my mom, my birth mom and my stepmom, first child at 12, second child at 13 from the Deep South. So that's why I don't have a strong New York accent, because I had a stepmom, and every once in a while, you'll hear me go to that Southern drawl, right? That was the woman that shaped me in the later years of my life. And, you know, she always believed in a vision. This is a woman that she could write you the book on optimism, and we don't have time in this show, but I could tell you stories about her that, I mean, she would flunk her real estate test by one point, and I would call her, Jim. I'd say, Mama, how'd you do? And she'd say, oh, honey. I'm thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God, that dang one point. And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, I got to get that one point next time. That was my stepmom.
Relentless.
That was my stepmom. Relentless. So she helped us girls have a vision, and she helped
it. You know, 17, I've raised two 17-year-olds. And if anyone out there has a teenager now, my condolences and all that. We love them. We don't always like them. But did you rebel from this type of mentoring from two moms at 17?
I rebelled. I started to rebel early on because I had two stepsisters. I was cut off from my mom's family after my mom died, because they just didn't approve of my dad. My dad was kind of the villain in this. And you know, my rebellion came from having a family and then losing a family and trying to find my way at a young age. And I didn't understand the way of the South. I learned. I didn't know who I was. And then my poor stepsisters, Jim, oh my God, putting two beautiful girls in the Bronx, in the neighborhood we were in. My sister Joyce was drop dead gorgeous. She was beautiful, green eyes, blonde hair, you know, beautiful. She ended up heading up a gang in New York, and we had to move out of New York. I mean, I think about these things, and I came out of this really okay.
But what
I really
what,
did.
What did you realize a strength that you had, or
yeah.
A passion. What passion did you have?
There's no question.
What drove you?
I have to tell you, I was always in the music and arts. I was a little learning different.
Well,
That's what we call them.
First of all, you got the roots with Bob Dylan. I mean, now you're back in Greenwich almost,
That's
right?
I did. I used to go down
exactly.
there and hang out.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
We're dating ourselves, but yes.
That's all right. That's all right. Come on. You know,
yes.
Like... I'm going to quote David Bowie in a minute. But, but the whole thing is exactly what you're asking me about. I've always had the fight. I've had to have the fight. I was a kid that couldn't stop rocking. I couldn't stop tapping. You know, the alcohol on my gums, great. That was my first step to becoming an alcoholic and a drug addict, which
oh
I cleaned
gosh.
Up.
Oh, my
but,
gosh.
But, you know, all of those things.
And was,
right?
was that addiction around the 17, 18, 19, 28?
No, that thing started like at about 8 or 9. I mean, my right. stepmom, when she would tell the story.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of funny for me to think about it. You know, she would tell a story later. She said, you know, honey.
Looks like your family needed a coach.
Everybody did.
Everybody needs a coach.
Everybody.
Put in the coach.
But look, when you have people that are on your side, Jim, you do this. You are the person that is the person for people. And when you have people like that in your life, and my stepmom was one, I don't know if you know about family. They all sat around the table one day and they decided for all of us girls, like where they were going to go. Like my two sisters, they were going to go to secretarial school, Joyce and Doris. Secretary. And then they got to me, and my dad's like in Italian or whatever they were talking, like cigars and drinking and peeing. She goes, secretary. My stepmom walked in and said over my dead body. And she said, she has been playing the viola. She has made first viola forget about her grades. The child has a sense for art and instrument. She is going to go to Christopher Columbus High School, a public school, and be one of the youngest first violas to ever play at that school. What? How can you go wrong when you are groomed with somebody like that, Jim?
Well, and also music, that's a pipeline to the zone. Music, mainly because of the silence between the notes. I asked a conductor, symphony, I said, what do you do? And he says, I manage the silence between the notes. That's a great conductor. And that's why I love music. And that's why you fell in love with music.
I did. Yeah. Music and comic books. So you asked me where I got my fight from. There wasn't much I could read, but I love comic books. Every Marvel comic book, every DC comic book, every villain, every
superheroes.
I love them. I would draw them. I became a sketch artist in my own right.
Wonder Woman.
But don't you think, I mean, that's kind of the vision that I saw through those characters from my life was unwavering. It was when my uncle gave me these boxes, my uncle Dickie, I think it was either Dickie or Bobby, gave me the boxing gloves, and they just came from the fights. These guys used to do, you know, stuff at the fights, just saying. He brought me the gloves, still had a little blood on them. Brought me the gloves. I didn't take them off for like a week, but they gave them to me and they said, look, Patricia, you're going to need these in life. Don't ever drop your hands and always know when you need to be strong enough and smart enough. And they said it to a 5-6-year-old kid, but they said it in a way that I got it.
You know what, Pat, that's why you and I bonded, because I was raised by a fighter, a pro fighter, and I was taught to fight. And as a preemie, 3 pounds, my brother had already died. He made it to 11 months, I believe, Joseph. And I've never met him. But from day one, fight. You're a fighter. Fannins are fighters. And pounded over and over. And that's what got me out of Appalachia and took me out internationally, and similar to you. When did you make the transition from music, Transformation Network, to where you are now? You made transformation has been the biggest cognitive part of your life. That's why you call your network the Transformation Network. It's about your life. Did you go from music to the rest of your life? And did you finish music?
I finished it as far as I could go at that point in time, because we moved. And the school I went to was Plainfield, New Jersey. And Plainfield, New Jersey, they did not have a program. But here it is. I learned early on, you have to be adaptable and change. I learned it early. When my mom was sick, before I went to the boarding school, I had to stay with my aunts. I couldn't stand it. You know, cockroaches everywhere. And so I adapted. I slept on the fire escape. I learned to adapt at a very young age, Jim. And there are so many stories I could tell you. I learned to adapt. I'm homeless in New York. I mean, the only reason I'm not dead in New York is because I got a hot dog guy saw me digging in his dumpster. And I guessed the magic ingredient he had in, and he gave me a job at a hot dog stand.
Wow.
But everything like this, when I follow my intuition, which is I'm so guided by spirit, but my course of addiction from a very young age, and especially alcoholism from a very young age, followed me. Helped me create a very successful corporate career working for the phone company. But when I started there, I started at the ground. And you know what job I had? This is the transformation answer. I had a job delivering mail, but not just mail to anybody. Building 15, Bell Labs, Arno Penzias, the Big Bang guy. I called him Mr. Bagel. I'm 17 now, because Fridays were bagel. But I delivered mail. I missed more mail trips on that mail trip because I was in their sound room. They were showing me how things changed and transformed. All of that. And I was walking down the hall with Linda, who just started there one day. And I looked at Linda and I said, I'm going to get a PhD. Now, Linda's my best friend to this day. And she is the producer for my show. Now, she could have said what, Jim?
She doesn't doubt you anymore, does she?
She didn't doubt me then. She looked at me, Jim, and she knew. She knew I didn't have a degree. She knew. She comes from an educated family. And she looked at me and said, you absolutely will. And I said, Linda, what exactly is a PhD? Why did I want it? Here's why I wanted it. Because you talk about this. Happy, smiley, right? Why do I want it? I delivered mail to people, number one, never filed their mail. I love that. And then at the end of their names was PhD. So I'm saying, oh, I asked one of them, what is that? They said, that's you go to school, you get a PhD. And I said, PhD happy. The H in the PhD is happy. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like people happy.
My H was hungry.
This is happy.
And 400 determined.
And Linda never doubted it. But time. And the series of events.
Okay, so now you have your PhD. Now what? Yeah. How are you going to use it?
Well, you know why I got my PhD, don't you?
Tell me. What,
didn't you ask me that rebel question?
Yeah.
I was too cool to fool. I had worked my way up, $61 a week. Now I'm in management. Now I work for the president, the vice president. I'm like two, just the whole outfit.
Are people delivering bagels to you now?
Yes, they are. Bagels and coffee.
That's exactly a switch.
That is a switch. But look at, I was in HR and I was in charge of program development. And I had just gotten my undergraduate, 13 years, Jim, took me to get that. But I got it.
Oh, hold up. 13 years. 13 years of holding down jobs while you're going to school, climbing that ladder, refusing to quit and knowing where you wanted to go. Yep. 13 years, tip of the hat for me. Please go on.
But here you are.
Well, that's relentless.
It's relentless. And again, a lot of support. But I got to the point where I came down from my big, fat, beautiful house, my 4,000 square feet now. I got the race. I got the sports car. I got the truck. I got the 6 acres, beautiful part of Jersey, right? Coming down into my beautiful foyer, like what is that even? Look in the mirror like I do every day with my beautiful collie, a Lassie dog. And I look in the mirror and I was unrecognizable. My soul was unrecognizable.
Oh, wow. And we are souls having very unique human experiences. And life is short. And you became aware of that, that the PhD, the money, the fame, the all the accolades, all the letters behind your name, the 6 acres, that don't make you happy. I mean, Pat, I've got two billionaires that called and want me to help them. I'm now coaching them. I said, well, why do you need me? You got all the money in the world. Why am I here? I'm overweight. I haven't been intimate with my wife for 2 years. I haven't talked to my son in 3 months, and my daughter doesn't want to talk to me either. I'm miserable. Money don't make you happy. And you learned that quickly.
And that's what you've dedicated your entire lifetime to. You dedicated your entire lifetime so that you could help people understand that that place that they're in is an opportunity, right? That is simply a challenge. But that's your entire life. I forget how you phrase it. You know, 50 years of doing this, but it isn't just doing it. It's 50 years of helping people accelerate to get at the top of their game, to understand, I don't want to be there. I want to be here. See, this is now what you're doing to bring this message out. This is why I'm talking very fast, I know. But this is why, when you talked about women in the zone, I know, Jim, I'm learning a little bit about you. You could have picked anything to do for your first event, but you kept your promise to your mom and to come out and honor.
I still have advisors going, seriously, what, you didn't lead with business, you didn't lead with sports, you didn't charge money, what are you doing? And I go, I've never even had a male dog. I've always had females, as strong females in my life. And of course, that's why athletes say hi mom, they don't say hi dad. But yeah, I'm very passionate about.
But you know this moment in my life, Jim. It's the moment where I walked into my at the time pretty high paid job. My future was laid out in front of me. I mean, all I had to do, Jim, was implement the second downsizing program in the United States. The first was Exxon. We were the second mass one. And I walked in and I realized, and I'll tell you to this day, Dr. Ra's doctor and a whole bunch of other people, I walked in, my boss, she says, yes, We have new list of people that we're going to give the severance package. And I looked at the list, and that's when I went home the night before, and I came back and I said, you know what? This is totally unethical. Unethical is not even the word. You're not keeping your promises to people. Promise is important. My dad broke every promise to me. So clearly why I studied it. But this one, wow. I walked in and Roz said to me,
wow,
you're going to fire the people I tell you to fire in your department or else. And I said, I'm going to tell you or else. You take my head count. I had 24 and a half years. I was 6 months away from a full pension.
Oh my gosh.
I did. I don't know what happened to me, Jim. I'm telling you, happened.
First of all, listen, when you do something on principle, what's there to say? Principle and character and who you are. I mean, the hardest question in life, and I've had six people die in my arms, and I wondered, who am I? Did they answer that question as they passed? How many people pass away 70, 80, 90 years, and they don't know who they are? And I think you were searching from age four, who am I? And what can I do in this world?
Now here's intuition. Let's call it part two. This is when I had a half a brain now. I had just gotten clean and sober. I got clean and sober in 1990. And so I had 2 years of clearing the vision. So my boss is yanking my badge. She's like yanking the badge because get her out of here. Yanking the badge off my neck. And all I could think about, call Columbia. Call Columbia right now. Call Columbia. See if that application you put into Columbia is like a year. Call Columbia. And Rob is dragging the bag. I'm going down my office. I call Columbia. And I said, do you have my registration? They said, yes, we do. But you got to get here today by, I think it was like 5:45. And that's it. Otherwise, your 2 years is up. You need to be here. Have your books. I had to go from Livingston, New Jersey to Manhattan, where Columbia is, right uptown. Afternoon. I got from there to there in like 35 minutes and now parking, right? Never thought about the time, Jim. I never stopped and thought, oh, damn, what time is it? Oh, like I didn't have an alarm. We didn't have these phones. Pulled in front of the building, the registration building, Columbia, like I saw 129. Pull in front and I'm like, oh, right in front of me. Car pulls out. I pull right in front of the building. Made it upstairs. Got in the line, got my books, and I was accepted in Columbia's program. And then a voice said to me, send your company the bill for it. And I did. Back then, they kept you on the payroll for 3 months to train people. I sent them the bill. They paid for my tuition. But you see, you
know
can't
what, Dr.
plan
Bat,
it.
I'll tell you what, I want to cut right now to a toolbox because I got a tool that you've lived and you've actually showcased that tool. Success is getting up one more time from defeat. Right now, we'll be right back with Dr. Pat Basile. But first, let's check out the toolbox. Wow. What a great person, Dr. Pat Basile. You know, when things are at its toughest and you're knocked down and things are not going well, there is an opportunity there. It could be that your subconscious mind is putting you in that position so that you can learn from it and then catapult or slingshot to something that's even better for you. And I know that disappointment's heavy to carry around. I know that. I've seen that with all my clients in 51 years. But success, that ladder of success, is built on the rungs of the ladder to step on. And those rungs are those moments when you failed. But those are the moments when you'll learn the most. And that's why I love about this interview. Success is getting up one more time, and it's going to take you to a better place. And the thing about Dr. Pat, she never stopped believing in herself. Think about the rungs on the success ladder, and let's walk them, and let's learn from every disappointment, every mistake, and every setback. And now let's come back to our awesome guest, Dr. Pat. So Dr. Pat, now you've got your PhD. Now you've got all the money that you need. Now you're successful. Transformation Network, where did that happen? How did that pop into your head?
Now look, if I didn't have a few other potholes, this would not be interesting. It'd be so boring.
Is there going to be more potholes?
Listen, when you study something like Broken Promises and you don't know it, you have a committee advisor, Dr. Cherilyn Granrose. What a miracle work. I have the best mentors in the world. That's why I'm here. I've had the best. Mary Louise Smith, everybody. But here's where I am. I studied this thing. 1,200 pages of interview notes on people that had promise broke. By the time I was done, Jim, 2001, I had to do postdoctorate work. That's what they wanted. I had to present it. I was depressed. I turned down every corporate job that was offered to me, and I had a ton.
Did the information overwhelm you?
It is like TMI. When you have that much information and you discover that unless you figure out that you better make your own pathway, you better be happy with yourself, you better not rely on what your, you know, the corporate next nickel is going to be for you. Unless you can figure that out along the way, you're going to be disappointed. And I was depressed. And I'm telling you, I was hanging around, wallowing around in it, and I developed crust busting. I was sitting on the couch and I said, man, I'm crusted over. And I developed, my first show name was called Crust Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life. And I'm telling you.
Get all that crust out of here. Get some
clarity. Oh, man, it was like me. And I had my Harley, I had my dog, and I was crusted over and I couldn't get off the couch. But here's what happened. I transposed numbers. 2003, I transposed a number. I remember it because I was kind of celebrating my anniversary date back then. My AA date, whatever you want to call it, date. And I go to call this guy and I dial it and I said, is Tracy there? And they say, Tracy, we don't have a Tracy. I said, well, who are you? They said, we are Voice America Internet Network. And I said, what does that even mean? They're like, yeah, we do radio. We can do it. But wait a minute, we don't. Oh, you must want Tracy. I said, okay, this is a punk joke, right? Tracy, they said, no, Tracy Trump. 2003, within 10 minutes, Jim, whatever she listened to me say, whatever I said to her, within 10 minutes, I pulled out a credit card back in 2003, and I bought my first hour of airtime at a very, like $12,000 for 13 weeks.
You just jumped off the cliff.
I just jumped up.
Believing
Internet
you're gonna
play. Only. Internet radio in 2003. Now, you know, like your friends like say to you, Jim, what do you do? My friends are like, I never look back though.
Took down the rearview mirror. And you know what? I think that's one of the secrets. You are who you are from what you've done and what you've experienced. Obviously, we're dragging some DNA with us who gives us some propensity to do certain things better than others. I get that. But what you've been is a lifelong learner.
I am. I love to learn.
And that's what I love about you because, you know, you've had so much success. You've helped so many people with your show. And yet you're still asking me questions. And you know, great questions spawn great answers. We had a show on that. And you ask great questions. And you're probing and looking to always be better. But at some point when you had that show, when you got some feedback from people that took your little nuggets of info, you shared your life, that must have started a little bonfire in your brain of like, I like this. I like giving. I like helping. You know, growing up tough and poor and on the streets, you're not giving much. You're taking whatever you can because you got to take enough to just survive. But you took all that and now you started giving. How did that resonate? That's a mental boomerang. Tell me about your first successes that came back and go, wow, thank you. That helped change my life. What happened to you when you got that?
Remember I told you I had three mothers? There's
yes.
A third woman, Linda's mom. I met Linda, worked at Bell Labs. I met her in 73. I walk into Linda's house, right? Joan Fiery, what a woman. And I walk into the house. He's got the glasses. You can't see her eyes. And I walk in and I'm like this, Jim, because I walked my most of my life with my head down.
Wow.
Most of my life, I walk with my head down.
Not
now,
making
what does that say?
Well, low self-esteem. Part of it.
Hated myself.
Yeah.
Right. And here I walk into this upper middle class, Watchung, New Jersey family. How did this one? How's Linda even my friend? What is it? And I walk in and Linda says, I want you to meet my mother, Joan. They called her Joan and Buren. They not mom and dad, Joan and Buren. So I walk in and I want to meet them like this. And Joan says to me, young lady, if you're going to come in my house and you're going to attempt to shake my hand, you are going to look me in the eye. Lift up your head. And I'll never forget that day. And I lifted up and I saw these beautiful blue eyes, piercing blue eyes. This woman, this is the Irish woman, Joan. And she says, and I'm going to tell you this again. Don't ever let me hear you ever that you have walked with your head down. Now.
That's a game changer. That's our light switch.
It's a game changer. But Joan taught me generosity.
For everything.
This woman, Jim, there's not enough time to tell you. I didn't know how to set a table. I didn't understand hygiene. I'm just saying, this woman taught me about generosity. She taught me how to give. She taught me when you set a Thanksgiving table, set it for the two people that may show up. You see, what a blessing to learn
that.
Wow,
what a blessing. I love that.
That's where this comes from.
So tell me, your first show, and when you got some feedback from that show, do you have any that resonate? Did you have any success where somebody said, oh my gosh, you changed my life? Have you had that?
Oh, you know, I have to tell you.
I know you've had that.
I had it. The best listeners on the planet. The first time it was fascinating and it was fun. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't until a year later. And Jim, you know what happened to me is I got the pothole of doubt. 6 months after doing this on April 1st of 2004, everybody was like, you know, my friends, relationships, they're like, what are you doing?
You had to pick April Fool's Day.
I did. It was April Fool's Day. And they're like, everybody's like, you got to get a job, Pat. You can't be paying this money for airtime. You just got to get a job. Doubt is insidious. On April 1st, doing a workshop, Live Your Greatest Dream, April 1st, 2004, the size of my ankle on my right foot got so big. I couldn't walk. I thought I banged it. I'm a little clumsy. I went down a path where I got a mystery disease. Jim, I couldn't do anything else but buy airtime and talk. That's it.
Wow.
I couldn't go get a job. I couldn't work. My immune system caught on fire. I got to the point where my cells stopped working. I had gained 50 pounds.
Or maybe your subconscious says, girl, I'm going to put you in this seat. I'm going to not let you walk. You got too much to give. You ain't going nowhere. You're a rolling stone that gathers no moss. So you've done that all your life. You're staying here. You're going to help people. Are you over that affliction?
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Hallelujah for that.
The subconscious, you know, it will, if you have a blueprint embedded in your mind with repetition and what you think of when you go to sleep, it is going to guide you, and it's going to take you down a dead end street just to get you not to go that way again. And so I really believe it'll get you to fail. It's taken me someplace. I'm like, why am I here? And then I meet somebody there that takes me in the opposite direction. And that's living a life of simplicity where you just listen to your intuition. So let me ask you, you're very successful. You're helping thousands, millions of people. What's your vision now?
I love it.
You go to sleep and now, and what wakes you up in the morning? What tucks you in bed at night now that you have this information? You've had a full life. What's next for Dr. Pat?
Jim, come on. I'm just starting. I'm beginning. I'm fired up. Come on. You know,
I already know this. Where's next for you?
In 2004 and five, right after this, I created the vision for the network. I'm telling you, I was driving over the I-90 and my windshield lit up. Like the I-90 is this beautiful bridge here. The windshield, I saw it. I saw the network. I saw the logos. I saw how many channels. I never asked the question, how am I going to do it? And I got down to, and I created a web page for it. Now, well, why didn't I launch it? The technology hadn't caught up to the vision. So where are we today and where we're going? We have built technology that will allow not just you, me, all of us, but allow people all over the world to have easy access to take their message out. It is a technology, and I have to thank Oliver in Germany, Merrick, all of the people, Jessica, right? Everybody, Linda Kim. But this technology couldn't be implemented. Now, when TTR launched in 09, 010, Oliver from Germany came in and says, I build it. I said, okay, what are you building? He said, I know, I will just build it. And he did. I trusted him, and here we go. Now, this is the network that's going to change the way we look. The vision is to take the Transformation Network. It'll be a forum for everything about optimistic possibilities. It'll have articles. It'll have shows. We have a TV channel. We have an audio channel. We will have our own so-called Spotify, iHeart. What's the key, though? It's got to be positive. We're not doing hate. We're not doing hate talk. And why is this so important? Because I want to share
it. And it's got to have great content.
It's got to have great content. But do you know how hard it is for a person like you, Jim? If you wanted to start your own channel and you went to a big network and you said, I want my own channel. I want a Zone Code channel or the Zone channel. I want to bring on 40. They would say, give us 6 months to build it. You know what we would say to you? Give me 24 hours. Do you have the domain? That's what we've built.
Well, I'm excited. You know, this event, and by the way,
I love it.
On May 18th, Dr. Pat is our MC, and she's also a keynote speaker with our guest last week, Ann Grossman, tennis champion, who I've known for 6 decades. And then I'm going to keynote as well, and then we're going to do a panel. But it's women in the zone, women putting that zone on like an overcoat, a purposeful calm. We need more calm in our world. Yes, we need more intention and more commitment that happens with intention. And I feel that in you. And right now you're on a positive crusade to really, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Jim Fannin Show. It's about everybody listening. And here's some information. Now go put it in play.
Yeah.
Talking about it's one thing. And I had a client call me recently and said, just tell me what to do. I trust you. Well, they got to trust you first and just tell me what to do. And that's why I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see you. I'm going to see you in a few days, not long at all. And we hope everybody can come to the show physically. We've got a new training center. I'm excited about that. New headquarters. You know, who's buying commercial space? Okay, I guess I am. Everybody else is going the other way. But, you know, I've got one mantra, and I think this is a mantra that you've lived by. You don't know me. I had a guy tell me, you can't write a book. I go, why? Because I'm from Kentucky? You don't know me. I had a chair of Ohio State when I launched my Tennis Tot franchise. You can't do that. That's not possible. I go, you don't know me. And I think you've had that. You don't know me because you've got this insatiable drive to not only be the best you can be, but to share it.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people just don't do. And I think giving can be the most selfish activity. It always comes back to you. It makes you feel better. Yes. You've had some great successes. Who have you coached and mentored? Any notable people that we might know or recognize?
Yeah, Jessica.
Jessica.
Jessica. You know, look at this is a woman that shows up as an intern in my basement. That's how TTR was born. It was in my basement. It was in a basement apartment in a back room. And she shows up as an intern working with Heather, ex-military. Those two ladies in that back room with Oliver from Germany. Now that's a funny call to be sitting in on. And Jessica, and when she was done with her internship, I said to her, Jessica, would you like to stay on? Would you like, this is a woman that doesn't know how to not learn, that doesn't know how to not create. that from the get-go became instrumental. I have to tell you, I watched the sad part of this, really. That's why your event is so important. The most common way people give up their power, Jim, is by thinking they don't have any. That's Alice Walker. And if you think that and you listen to other people,
if you think that, you're right.
If you think that, you're right. You know. But here's young Jessica. And I'm saying talk to Jessica because she's like me, Jessica Linda. And they're like, you want me? Jessica's like young. I said, so what? I mean, what has that got to do with it? You talk to Jessica. Well, you know, how is she? I said, are you kidding me? I'm telling you, talk to Jessica. She's going to give you the answers. When you're working around people that have that level of resilience and build and knowledge and are willing to do it, and I'm going to tell you, you know, when you put me, Linda, and Jessica, Linda is the queen of detail. There is nothing that gets by her. She's the queen of questions. But I'm so blessed.
But you know what else? They have shared vision with you.
They do.
They bought into the vision. You know, if you want to build a great company, everybody's got to buy into where you're going. You want to build a great sports team and win the NBA chip. You want to do anything in your life where there's a group. Everybody's got to buy in. And what can happen if everybody on your team goes to sleep with that vision and wakes up with that vision? Now you got a tsunami of positive energy, and that's what you've created. But you gave them a vision, and then you gave them the latitude to use their own imagination on how to create it. We don't do that. You know, that old school, it's my way or the highway, that ain't going to work in 2023 and beyond. That's long gone. And I got a lot of people that come in for me to coach them wanting to change their culture. And I said, the first thing you need to do is change your mindset before I even want to talk to your people. Stress runs downhill. It don't run uphill. Dr. Pat, I'm excited that you came on the show as a guest.
Thank you.
I'm honored to have you on. You have a remarkable career. This is the epitome, everybody, of success is getting up one more time from defeat. Mm. And that's never ending, never ending. We're always going to have a little setbacks, especially if we have those lofty visions and dreams. Dr. Pat, I'm going to see you in Oak Brook Terrace.
Yep.
We're going to be live and we're going to stream live. And if you're listening right now, I expect you to be at our event and we're going to love it. We're going to have a great experience and help you go to the best place you can be.
Now, look it. I got one thing I got to say that people need to know this. Do you mind?
Please.
I've known this Mr. Jim Fannin for a short period of time. And in the short period of time I've known him, I want to just give him the credit for this to all of you. And I will do it again on the 18th. But since the short time I've known him, yes, he's improved my table tennis stroke. That's another story. But in the short time I've known him, I did something a week ago after a conversation I had with this man that I have been wanting to do for 20 years and have not done. Now, I'm not going to share the conversation, but I am going to say thank you to you, because as of today, I have got the EIN number for a nonprofit that I've been wanting to start called Women in Media. And that is to support women that want to have a presence, whether it's a podcast, a book, they don't have the funds, it's a foundation. It's a 501c3. And it happened after a conversation that I had with you sitting out there in my front room. We were just talking, but something you said or how you said it or your belief got me into action the next day. Now, here's what I want to say. The Jim Fannin way is this. You have to have the discipline to get yourself up and find who you need to file it. Then what you need to do is you have to have that concentration and focus to say, I'm going to work with you, legal organization. Can you do it? Then you have to be optimistic beyond your belief and not wonder all of the no's and naysayers, you can't do it, it won't happen. And then you have to breathe it in and take it in and relax and drop that jaw. And if you play table tennis, your tongue is hanging out. And then when you finally get, after 7 days, unprecedented start of this nonprofit, thanks to Jim Fannin, in the state of Washington, then you relax. And I don't know if you recall the conversation we had.
I do.
But that did it. And I want to thank you, Mr. Jim Fannin, for that.
I'm going to have to officially ordain you a Zoniac. you are now an official Zoniac, someone that chased the positive mindset to climb your own Mount Everest. Dr. Pat, you've been a blessing to be on this show. You're going to help so many people, not just women, everybody. And you got to come back, though. You got to promise, right? You got to come back.
I got it. Thank you, Jim.
I'll see you in Oak Brook Terrace soon.
Thank you,
Dr. Pat. My favorite living organism, the palm tree. And it fits perfectly into the show of success is getting up one more time from defeat. Dr. Pat, well, she's been a palm tree in life's hurricanes. We've heard that story. So how's your story? Are you down and out? Do you have a pebble in the shoe? Have you hit a roadblock? Or are you at a crossroad and can't make a decision? Not sure which way to go. Well, you probably need some clarity because you may be operating in a mind of chaos, which most of us are doing in today's society. But right now, we're going to take our breathing from the average 15 to 70 breaths a minute, stressed out over 20, down to a 6 to 8. We do this every week, and it's just a little check to see, can you be a palm tree in life's hurricanes? So once we get the breathing practiced under control, when you step in a pothole, when you get information you don't like, when that verbal hurricane arrives, unhinge your jaw, relax, let your tongue float, and then lower your breathing to 6 to 8. Now, like we do every week, I'm going to count out 1 minute, and you're going to count your breaths. Inhale through your nose. Inhale 4 seconds. Hold it a second. Exhale 4 seconds, and that's going to give you that 6 to 8. And let's see where you are. On your mark, get set, count your breathing. Be present. Peaceful. Focus only on your breathing. There's no future, no past in your mind. You're just here, no place you'd rather be, in tune with you. Pick your chin up just a little above parallel if it's down. Just relax. Find that tranquil calm and be that palm tree when confronted with life's hurricane. Stop. So how'd you do? Yes, you can be prepared for adversity. Yes, with a little preparation and knowing this little palm tree tool, you'll be ready to confront and meet head on and look adversity in the eye and not blink. Next time you're in a verbal spat, you'll feel your chest tighten up. You may want to be an oak tree and I don't like what you said to me. I don't like how you talk to me. Learn how to be controlled. The person with the most constants in a world of variables prevails. And the one constant? Nobody increases your breathing. No one. Control that. Be the palm tree in life's hurricanes. And you're going to have an unbelievable, simple, balanced, and abundant life. Be the palm tree. Welcome to the Zone Cafe. Now, at the Zone Cafe, we're only serving 5 things on our menu. They're things that you possess and have always possessed. But sometimes they get depleted. Sometimes they can get too elevated. So you can drive up on the road of life, 24 hours this cafe is open. And it's not cooking fast food. It's cooking awesome brain food. Do you need more self-discipline? Do you need more commitment? Do you need a blueprint? And do you need persistence? Or maybe you need concentration. Maybe you got a blueprint, but you're not focused. Or maybe you need optimism. Maybe you need to have that confidence, that inner belief that nothing can go wrong. But maybe you just need the palm tree that we've talked about. But maybe you need to enjoy the journey, enjoy the struggle, enjoy the challenge on your way up to your own Mount Everest. What do you need? But right now, I want you to get into the zone helicopter. Oh, yeah. We're going up 1,000 feet. So hop in. We're going up above the cafe. And now we're flying high, looking over your life from the very beginning to maybe the possible end. And there it is. It's all mapped out. So what's a challenge in your personal finance? Is this where you need to get up from defeat? Have you had a financial setback? Can you be a palm tree and then rebound from this defeat to be the best that you can be? But as we're flying over your life, look at your personal relationship with your significant other. How's that going? Is that 1 + 1 = 3? Is that a place where you need to rebound and be the best you can be? And what do you need to do to fix it? Do you need more optimism in that relationship? Do you need more focus on it? Or do you just leave it alone and let it happen however it happens? While we're in this helicopter, look upon the different elements, arenas in your life. Because you're more than a business person. You're more than an athlete. You're a sister, a brother. How's that arena? And how's that going? Are you at the bottom? Are you not speaking? I watched my father and his only brother, my uncle. They didn't talk for 40 years. Give me a break. Seriously? Well, they needed to rebound. Success is getting up one more time. And these are emotional defeats, psychological defeats. You know why they're defeats? Because you lug them around in suitcases and it's too much to bear. A suitcase of embarrassment, of guilt, of anxiety, of fear. How's your life? You're looking upon it. And every arena in your life you're looking at is a volatile, chaotic reality show. Look into your family life. Look into your business life. Are you the best you can be? And what part of the score system, self-discipline, concentration, optimism, relaxation, or enjoyment do you need right now? Not tomorrow. Now, to be the best that you can be. And now let's come back down safely from the zone helicopter, overlooking your amazing life. And now let's get determined to right the ship. If there's a ship that needs to be flipped, a new course maybe needs to be written, or maybe just how you respond to everything that's happening in each of your life arenas. Go to the Zone Cafe anytime you want. It's open 24 hours. And you always want to check and see what's the weakest link in my mentality and my attitude. How's your score level? How's your attitude? How's your mindset? It's the same question at the Zone Cafe. I love being around greatness. Greatness. What is greatness? You know, I've coached greatness. I've pondered greatness. I've been around greatness. And greatness is an individual that's hitting a high daily standard, regardless of the circumstance, irrespective of the condition or the situation they're in. They're reaching that high daily standard over a long period of time. And Dr. Pat, that was great. And you have a life of greatness. And I know you're going to continue and spark that vision and start a forest fire of extreme positivity. This show today is about getting back up when you get knocked down. But you got to learn from it. Getting knocked down is one thing. Talking about how negative it is and I'm the victim of my circumstance, my conditions. I mean, come on, let's just be blunt. That's a loser mentality. How's that working out for you? You need to shed that mindset. You need to extract the words in your inner dialogue that don't serve you well. Get rid of them. In the past, learn from it and move on. What's our battle cry, Zoniacs? People that put that zone on like an overcoat. Next. And until next time, don't forget to sign up to the event on May 18th. Yes, men are allowed. Come on in. But it is a Women in the Zone event. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about Dr. Pat. I'm excited about Ann Grossman. And I'm excited more than anything else about helping you be in the zone, because it's the only place to be. May 18th, 2.5 hour morning experience. Be in Oak Brook Terrace. We only have a few seats left live, but you can always see us virtually, and be sure to share it to give your friends their opportunity to be their best as well. Next. Thanks for joining me today on the Jim Fannin Show. And as a returning or new Zoniac Peak performer, it's here that goals are reached and dreams come true. So if you're ready to step into the zone of champions to become your genuine, authentic best self, and all you do, join me here next time on the Jim Fannin Show, where I'll help unlock your full potential. And in the meantime, learn more about me and my SCORE success system at www.jimfannin.com. Follow me on all my social media platforms. And if you have questions about the show or its subject matter, email me at askjim@jimfannin.com. askjim@jimfannin.com. Ask Jim at jimfannin.com.